Welcome to the Lash Base Podcast and it's episode 14. And today, as we're in the Christmas rush, I'm going to give you an episode that is very different to the last 13 episodes that we have done. And this one is from an interview that I did with you may know him better as the Borby Boy on Beauty by Boys podcast. It's a really, really in-depth interview, and I feel that it would provide so much value to a lot of people that are listening. So I am going to keep this one short because it has a lot of information in it and we got a lot to get through. I hope you like it. As always, put all of your feedback in the Team Lash Base Facebook group and also on Instagram. I'd love to know if you've listened and if you get through all of it and what your favourite parts were. So, right, I've put all of Stephen's contact information and how you can listen to the Beauty by Boys podcast, which I 100% recommend, in the notes in this, and we'll put it all across our social media posts related to this podcast. Anyways, enjoy.
I'm super excited that you're with me today, and I can't wait to hear all of the marketing secrets that you have.
I've been waiting for this since you asked me, or as soon as I saw you were doing a podcast, I was had my fingers crossed. I was going, he better ask me to do this. And then you did. And obviously now it's been, well, it feels like it's been about a month or so like in waiting for this. And then now you've got me on, and yeah, this is big moment. I think this is going to be good.
I'm really excited. I definitely wanted you to be one of the first people that I interviewed because you're just killing it as a beauty boy yourself, and I'm happy to have you on here. So yeah,
I feel like I've become an accidental beauty boy and you're an on purpose beauty boy, so I think that's where we're different. I wish I chose this life because I love it, but I didn't choose. Yeah, it's the business has been going for 10 years, which is pretty cool. We've just celebrated our 10-year anniversary, and I think I've been working at Lash Base for 6 years. The thing is, though, it's a family business. Lash Base is a family business. It's run by my mum, my dad. There's now me, my brother, my other brother, and then we've got about 20 members of staff now. So it has been running for 10 years, but I've been in and around it the entire time. I just had other jobs until it got to a stage in which my mum said, look, I really, really need some help. Well, the funny thing is, actually, the question was, she said, Jamie, I'm aware that you're not that happy at your job. I really need some help with my Facebook page.
That was the first question?
That was the question. She said, I need some help. I don't know what I'm doing on Facebook. Please, can you come and do my Facebook page for me? Because she didn't have a clue, really. And then that's where I said, yeah, of course I can do that, because I wasn't enjoying my current job at the time anyway. So as soon as she asked, I said, you know what, I will. Because it got to a stage for my mum that the business was growing so fast that she needed to take somebody on, new people, new staff. And she said, after asking about helping her with her Facebook page, she said, I would much rather give my money or give money to my family or people that I trust rather than having to employ people that I don't know. And I think for my mum, that is the stage in every solopreneur or entrepreneur's life in which you know you have to let go of something. You know the only way that you can continue to grow is if you delegate or let go a little bit. And she had that sort of like easy out of being able to get family on, because then there wasn't the trust issues, and that's where it all started.
Yeah, I definitely agree, like with the whole delegating thing, I'm getting to the point where I feel like I need an assistant or something, and I think it's super important if you really do want to grow. So when you got into her Facebook page and started helping her with that, is that when you were like, you need a little more help than just the Facebook page, or how did that kind of go?
That was pretty much exactly how it went. I came on, and the good thing is 6 years ago, Facebook was like the place where everybody would go. That was where the attention was. It was all on a Facebook page. So you could post something on your Facebook page, like the Lash Base page, and every single person that followed you would see that post. That was how easy it was. So what we did was post, Lashbase have a 20% discount coming up at the weekend. Here's the code. Thank you. And that is as far as the efforts went in the marketing. But as soon as I came on and started having a look at it, then there was this little thing called Instagram that was starting to get popular. So I said, look, Mum, we need to have an Instagram page. We need a Facebook page. This at this time as well, when I came on board, I'm going to go all the way back to the start of Lashbase. With the start of Lashbase, it was 10 years ago when lashes were, it's still small now, the industry as a whole, but it was even smaller. So in the UK especially, there was probably two or three different companies that were selling lash products, and my mum was buying from them, and it was a case of where she thought, you know what, this is too expensive and the quality is not very good, so I need to find new products. I need to find my own product. So she sourced her product. Fast forward a little bit further, she's got her own products and she's selling them. So my mum got the lashes in that she liked. She wanted to sell them. But because the industry was so small and it was so early, you didn't need to consider your marketing or your branding or anything like that in a massive way. I guess you did, but to gain traction, she didn't need to. So the two things that worked for Lashbase in the beginning were the fact that she was early, the fact that her products were decent at a good price, and also that my dad happened at that time 10 years ago, because this was the most important thing, was an expert at Google SEO. So the website, anytime you went onto Google, which is what everybody did at the time, and searched lash extension products, Lashbase would always come up number one in the searches. So that's where the traction was gained, because everyone searching would find them. So when it got to the stage that Google was still, it's still brilliant, but where it was less important because social media was bigger and bigger and bigger, that's where it's that argument of you need to be where the attention is. And I think my mum obviously spotted that they didn't put any effort into any of their social media or any marketing, which is why they asked me to come on. So when I came on and said, right, okay, we need to be on Facebook and we need to be on Instagram and we need to improve the quality of what we are talking about and posting, she said, okay, that's fine. And then the next step that I took as head of marketing at the time was to have a look at our website and have a look at our logo and the overall branding of Lashbase. You only need to go back now 6 or 7 years and have a look at what the old logo looked like. I think we used Comic Sans font was the font for everything. And the website itself, although it worked, it was like you were on, I don't know, a builder's site, and you just picked what you wanted. It worked brilliantly, and the SEO, the Google SEO was excellent. However, it didn't look great. So that was another thing. I said, look, we're going to have to do a full rebrand, change the logo, change the website. And that is what we did. We invested then in our website and in getting a new logo, which is actually the logo we still have now. And yeah, and then we picked up from Facebook and then moved on to into Instagram. Because when we had Facebook, we were at something at the time, this was around about 20 to 30,000 page likes when we started our Instagram account with zero. And now I think on Instagram, we're at 55,000 followers compared to our Facebook page, which is 35 or 40,000 page likes. So that's how it's changed. And yeah, and that's where it's gone from there.
Do you guys still utilize Facebook a lot, or are you more on Instagram now?
Well, I was only thinking about this a couple of days ago, and I do a lot of research and listen to a lot of podcasts. I read books, I read blogs online, because I love what I do, trying to learn where you should be, what's good, what's coming, what's changing. And everywhere you go, it generalizes and it talks about the bigger picture. So yes, Instagram is great, and Instagram is performing well in the beauty industry, because it's very visual and things like that. But when you talk about the lash industry specifically, and this is so true, and I feel like this is going to like give it away to any other brands listening, but customer wise and the customer base you have, although people don't like to say it, and this is especially true for the UK, I'm not 100% sure about the US at the moment, but they are, so many of them are in Facebook forums, Facebook groups. In a Facebook group, you've got anywhere between 2,000 and 20,000 lash artists. So as a lash brand, you cannot get any more focused of a target audience than a Facebook group. Whereas on Instagram, we could post on Instagram to our 55,000 followers and only around about 3,000 might see that actual post. Whereas if you're in a Facebook group or a Facebook forum, then most of the people will see it because that's how the algorithms are working within the groups at the moment. So a weird one for us at the moment, apart from one other thing, which I can talk about in a minute, our Facebook group, Team Lashbase, is our current best form of marketing for helping people, for talking about products, and for gaining customers.
That's awesome. I definitely have been kind of interested in Facebook again recently, just because I think that people kind of overlook it because it's not super aesthetic like Instagram and Pinterest and things like that. But like you said, it's super niche and you can really get down to the customer that you actually want because they are paying attention to that group. And I think Facebook groups is really something underutilized. And I think that a lot of lash artists could benefit from that and lash brands, like you said, in general.
I agree. I think as well, lash trainers, you've got, if you want to train people and you want to gain students, these, you, if you get yourself in a lash group, and this is the key to a Facebook forum or Facebook group, whatever you want to call it, is to actually be helpful. Genuinely try and help people with the questions that they are asking. That is all you have to do. That is your only aim of what you've got to do. The moment you start using these groups just to copy and paste your website links, you it doesn't work. It looks spammy and it's absolutely pointless. However, if you genuinely, especially as a lash trainer, if you're there just answering people's questions with really, really good help, maybe posting a few video tips in the group, you'll make a name for yourself, which then helps word of mouth, which is the best form of marketing, but then word spreads. And before you know it, you'll start picking up more students just because you're helping people in a Facebook group.
I think you should serve for years ahead of time before you start just selling. And even as you're serving, people are going to buy from you and want to book trainings with you because you're giving them valuable content for free and you're not asking for anything in return. I think that a lot of people are making the mistake of just selling first before they serve. I just think that serving can really, really create a name for yourself in a different way.
And the thing is, people that want to sell, that's completely fine. Like, don't get me wrong. I want to sell. The family business would not be here if people didn't buy products from Lashbase or sign up for trainings with the Lashbase trainers. So that's completely okay to want that, but it's when that's your first go-to at all points. As soon as people could understand that if you genuinely help people, this is the way I think about it. So if somebody wants some help, I will help them. I won't mention anything to do with buying something or what we can do that they have to pay for. I will just help them. If that person then improves because of my help, they will always remember me. So when that time comes that they want to buy something, they will probably think of me. Or if someone says, do you know anywhere that can help me with this? They'll probably say, do you know what? Jamie helped me with that one. That person will then come to me. I will help them without even mentioning anything to do with selling products or a specific product that they should use. And what actually happens through just helping people is more people will talk about you in a good sense, word of mouth again. And from that, you might help 10, 100 people, 1,000 people, one of them will eventually buy.
I love that. You agree with the serving thing, but I guess you're right. I think it's okay to sell, but I guess I'm just saying that I don't like when people just sell from the get-go. I like to be given a little freebie here and there, you know?
I agree. If somebody says, what is the best adhesive? And they ask me that question. The answer is not, to copy and paste the link to your best selling adhesive? The answer is to ask them some follow-up questions and genuinely get down to understand why are they looking for a new adhesive. Because you'll end up, when you have a conversation with someone and said and ask them, maybe not flat out, why is it you want a new adhesive? But even if you did, they'll say, well, because I'm getting really bad retention at the moment with this one. You say, okay, is it everyone? Has it been for a while now? Has anything changed in what you do? Have you used any other products? You'll end up finding out that the reason they're having bad retention is because they've gone and bought a new primer or other product that they're using incorrectly, which is actually then affecting their retention. So then you find out they don't need to waste their money. They don't need to buy any more adhesive. Theirs is fine. They just need to stop or adjust using a different product that they're currently using. And that person will think, God, that's amazing. Thank you so much for the help. However, when they next come to wanting to look for a new adhesive, just because everyone does, don't they? Everyone, you find an adhesive, you like it. But when you start seeing other brands with new adhesives, it's okay to want to go and try a different adhesive. They're most likely to come and try your adhesive because you've helped them.
They won't forget you. So let's go back a little bit here. And I want to know, like, what got you into marketing and what you were doing before you joined with LashBase?
So before LashBase, and I'm going to be a little embarrassed to say this, I was I think in the US, call them realtors, a real estate agent. So I was that dodgy guy that was driving around a car that I was leasing for probably around about half of my monthly wage salary that I was getting, thinking that I was someone special, driving around trying to sell people houses. And so I was doing that. And this was, I just got to say, I was definitely young. This is before I grew up a little bit, which since working at LashBase, definitely I've completely changed. So I was doing that. And I think I was working 8:30 in the morning until 7 p.m. at night, 5 days a week. And then I was working on a Saturday 9 to 5. And that was it. And I was getting paid hardly any money, but I had a nice car and I got to wear a suit. So I felt like I was someone pretty special. But I didn't, deep down, I didn't enjoy it. I don't mind sales. I liked the marketing side of the fact that we had to go and take pictures of houses and present them in certain ways and things like that. That was great. So it was when the time came that my mum said, look, will you help me with a Facebook page? That is when I thought, you know what am I doing with my life? I could just sit here with this fake life I'm living, or I could go and do something that hopefully I can build for myself, which is obviously what I'm currently working through at the moment.
Wow. So did you go to college for marketing, or how did that look?
Well, I'd like to say I'm completely self-taught. When I came on board at LashBase, and I'd probably say I'm not an idiot in terms of I just would blindly do something. I like to use Google. I like to learn. I like to read, because I don't like not knowing things. So when I came on, it all would have started with a simple how to run a Facebook ad on Google, and I'd have learned from that. Then it would have led me to other blogs, other articles. I've taken the best things that I've learned are through free videos, free books. I've paid a little bit of money for books, but free videos, online articles, and just through trial and error, testing, and then having that brain for it. I have done a couple of like online courses for social media and for marketing, and I finish them and think, well, that was such a big waste of money. Especially when it comes to social media, because social media changes every single month. What you could pay money to learn about will be completely different in 2 months' time. So for me, it's definitely been, I'm self-taught. And I think when it comes to marketing, something that people need to definitely understand is there is so much psychology involved in understanding what other people are thinking, rather than just trying to learn clever ways to push your own agenda. If you understand other people, it makes it a completely different different game entirely.
I knew that I liked you. I'm self-taught too with everything that I know. And I think that's great that my listeners are going to hear that about you, because I feel like a lot of them are super intimidated by marketing and branding and social media, but there's so many resources out there for free that you just have to do a little research and take a little time, and you can figure it out for yourself. And like you said, there's a lot of online courses too that help, but I also felt the same way after I would finish the course. I would be like, wow, I knew most of that already, or I could have just easily searched that in Google. So yeah. I think it's, you know,
I completely agree with you. I think for me, I've been doing officially been doing marketing for 6 years now. Nobody knew who I was until 2 years ago. I've only had my Lash Base Jamie Instagram account for 2 years now. And again, it was just some of the main things that pushed me to, I always feel a little embarrassed saying that I'm good at marketing. I'm definitely confident in saying that I have high emotional intelligence. I understand how other people are feeling, and I understand how to research and how to learn things that you need to know. So I think some of the biggest things that I've learned have just come from simple videos on YouTube, understanding. I'm trying to think of some of the biggest takeaways that I've had. I watched a video once that was, because I'm one of these sad people that I do actually enjoy a motivational video, you know, with the like really intense inspirational like orchestra in the background and some man just sort of like chanting some cliche sentences. I love that. But I think I must have been watching one of those probably 3 years ago, and it was one of those where it was the standard of, you need to get out of your comfort zone. Nothing good ever grows in your comfort zone. And it was so many times you can hear that, you can read it, you can see it. And it was one time when I thought, you know what? I know it will help. I'll even feel better in myself for doing it. I know I will. And then that was where I just decided, you know what? I'll start my own account, because the Lash Base Instagram account had become so like, had a life of its own. There was no way that I would be able to suddenly put my face on it and start talking and pushing my own agendas. So I started my own one. And I think I've still got in my highlights, if you scroll all the way back, some of the first things that I did 2 years ago. God, they are embarrassing. But after doing them, you realize no one's like laughing at you. No one cares. Everyone else has got their own things going on. All it has done is led me and helped the business, made me change into a better person. I actually crave getting outside of my comfort zone. I remember two years ago, the thought of having to go and stand on stage and do public speaking, I'd never have done that in a million years. However, now I absolutely love it. So yeah, I think if anybody wants to learn anything, it doesn't even need to be marketing, but if we're talking about marketing, you can find everything online. And if you can sort your how you think and how you understand other people, it doesn't matter the medium that you're using, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn or TikTok or a website or anything like that. As long as you understand, try and understand people, put it from their point of view all the time, and not worry about like failing or what people will think, then it gets so easy, so easy.
Exactly. You have to identify your ideal customer and really try and speak to them. And I think that you do. You do a great job for Lash Base. You do a great job for your own personal brand. So what does a day-to-day as the head of the marketing team for Lash Base look like?
The day-to-day for me, do you know, I was asked this again a couple of weeks ago. And I had to pause for a bit and I thought, you know what is it I do every day? But it actually led me then, for the following week, I made an hour by hour tracking everything I did. I made a note of it just to see what it was that a head of marketing does all day, every day. Because I come to work in the morning, And when I leave the office at, say, 5 o'clock, my head feels like it's going to explode. I feel like I've done so much. I feel like I've got it all done. I'll then go home and I'll continue to do work at home, or even if it's just simply a bit of engagement on social media, I'll still carry on, ready to come in the next day, and then I'll go at it again. But it's funny, once I tracked what I did, there is, and this is a massive piece of advice that I need to give to everybody, structure your day. You need to have, diarize and put in the calendar things that you have to do, make a to-do list, add priorities to that to-do list, and then get those things done in the order that you choose, and then don't procrastinate. Because I found that a day-to-day thing, like, so for example, some of the jobs that I do day-to-day, and this is in like no order, but obviously you've got the social media stuff. So for Lashbase as a brand, I now have 2 people working under me. One of them deals with all the customer related stuff, which is messages, comments, and anything engagement related. And the other one deals with the creative and making the posts. So we can work on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, soon to be TikTok once I pull my finger out, and YouTube. And so my job for social media wise now for Lashbase as a brand is more to consider the strategy of what we're going to be doing and then let them go ahead and create it. I'll then get the final say. It does end up bottlenecking towards me of, right, Jamie, this is what I've created. Is this what you meant, or is this that? And then I can say yes or no. So there's the social media side of stuff that I do. The Google analytical side, which again is so boring. I don't ever talk about this sort of thing, but I enjoy it, but that's because I'm a bit of like a geek for it. And that is, so anytime you search Lashbase or Lashes on Google, whether we pop up as a paid ad or we pop up organically, that's what I've been working on. And there's obviously podcast, the planning for the podcast. I love writing as well. So there'll be lots of writing that I'll do, whether that's blog articles I have to do. And this is where the family business side of it comes in. All new products that we get in, because I'm a better writer, I'm not saying I'm a good writer, because I'm a better writer than the others, I'm the one that writes the descriptions for the products. I then have to put the products online. My assistant, Amy, takes the photos because she's better at taking the photos of the products. So I'll be putting all the new products on. I'll make the adjustments to the website as and when needed. Any other news or magazine or anything PR related we have to write for, then it's all the filming of the video stuff. And then we've got like, that's all like small day-to-day bits. And then in the bigger picture, we've got all like the bigger event stuff that needs planning. We're just about to open in America, in the US. So that in itself is taking a lot of plan with considering how we're going to launch, how are we going to do it? Who are we going to try and associate with, affiliated with? It's just the bigger tasks as well. So I've just rambled on then for a bit. And if you don't have a schedule or a plan, you end up getting none of that done. You get like a few bits. So at the moment, and this is where it's completely changed for me, I'd say 2 years ago, my job was to do all of that without any help. And I would create posts, think of what needed to be posted, and post it all on social media as and when I could. And then with the website stuff and the product as and when I could. But now it's transformed. I've sort of evolved into someone that I have people that I've met, and it's so good. I feel like I'm good at letting go. I feel like I'm good at delegating. And I have people working for me now that I truly believe are better at my job than I am. And I'm lucky enough now to be able to just be like an ideas person. So I'll be someone that says, right, okay, I've noticed that this trend seems to be coming. What can we do? Can we create this, that? And then it gets done. Or I'll say, look, guys, we really need to focus on X, Y, and Z. And then it gets focused on. So my day-to-day changes every single day. But my one massive piece of advice would be to anyone listening is to make sure you structure your day, because I've fallen victim to it so many times. And you don't get any work done. You feel like you're working, you feel like you're doing loads, but unless you've got like a to-do list with priorities and you've structured certain things in, like, for example, this interview that we're doing, you've had scheduled in for a long time now. It means that when it comes up to that time, you can give it everything, every bit of focus, because that's what you've penciled in your diary to do at that time, rather than keep switching and swapping between things. So in a long drawn out answer, that is my day to day at Lashbase.
Well, I'm impressed, and I honestly got shivers as you were talking, because like every single thing that you do is like my dream job. I would love to do all of that as a normal day-to-day job. Like the marketing, the everything, just coming up with ideas, that's just, it's so incredible. It is, I'm so jealous.
I love when it comes to like a Sunday night, I genuinely go to bed excited to go to work the next day. When it comes to a Friday evening, although don't get me wrong, I love my family time. I love my family and I like having downtime. Think it is so important. But at times when it comes to a Friday and I know I'm not in the office for like 2 days, I get that, oh, I just want it to be Monday again. I want to get back at it. And I feel almost guilty that I have the position that I have, because I wish that everyone could be as happy as at doing their job that I am doing my job, because you're right. It's brilliant. You get to be an ideas person. You get to build things, create things, see how it works, change it. You see the results. Yeah, it's excellent. It is brilliant.
Well, everything you're doing has really caused some tremendous growth with Lashbase. So how do you think that, or like, why do you think that the company has reached so many milestones since you took over?
I think with this one, and I'm going to have to credit, I'm not sure, do you listen to or see much about Gary Vee?
I've heard about him and everyone keeps telling me that, like, I really think I should be listening to his podcast or reading or whatever he does.
Yeah, well, I listen to him. I've read some of his books, and I think he's one of those, you either love him or you hate him. He's got a certain personality that some people love, some people don't like. However, there was some of the things he says have really stuck with me. And one of the things that I think has helped Lashbase and helped me, and I hope will continue to help us, is that you need to go where the attention is. Because it's no good if you say, yeah, but I don't like using social media, or I don't want to. But the thing is, that's where, if you consider who your target market are, who are the people that you want to do business with. So if you're a lash artist looking for clients, think about how old they are, who they are, what they do, and then think about what is it they're doing most of the time. And within our industry, the answer at the minute anyway is that they are scrolling on Instagram. So it would make sense to make sure that Instagram features heavily in your plans as to what you're doing. And I think that's where we've gone from when we first started Google, because loads of people, because social media wasn't as big as it is now, if you wanted to find something, you had to search on Google, which people still do. So it's still massively important. But back 10 years ago, that was like one of the main, or if not only, ways you would find stuff, Google. So we were heavily invested into Google. We did really well from it. Then it was Facebook. Then it was Instagram, and mix in a bit of YouTube and all the others that are around. But we just make sure that we're present, and we'll continue to, whatever that is. It doesn't matter if all of a sudden everybody's attention is, I don't know, either a new app, or they decide that nobody's going to use their phones anymore. They're just all going to go and go to a certain location. Then you can bet that Lashbase will be at that certain location or whatever it is. So that's one of the things I think I'm good at, is focusing on where the attention is, which brings me back to where I was talking about, weirdly, within the industry, especially for us in the UK at the moment, so much success is coming from Facebook groups, whereas Instagram's great. Instagram's brilliant for my personal brand because you can get to know people and people can get to know you. However, in Facebook groups, you just have a pool of your target audience that you can then engage with.
So let's say one day that Instagram and Facebook completely go away, and all you have is your Google and Google SEO and your email list. Do you think that Lash Base could be as successful, or do you really think social media is one of the major driving forces for traffic for your company?
Well, if you'd have asked me that 6 months ago, I would definitely have said that social media was could make or break us, because we were, up until 6 months ago, I think it was 34% of our new customers came through either Instagram or Facebook. And that is a lot of customers. And that's why we saw how the value of that, and then that's why we've been working on it. However, now where we're at and what I find interesting, our best forms of marketing at the moment is definitely our email list and Google as well. So when you track where people are coming from or what like brings the best, for me, you've got Instagram is great, but you could post 6 times a day on there and not get the same results as you could have done a year ago. So posting on Instagram's great if you're paying for it, so people see it. Facebook groups are great, but the Facebook page is almost obsolete nowadays. I think we post on there still frequently and regularly, but mainly that's just to share it back into our group that we've created rather than expect to gain anything from it. And yeah, so that's it. I think social media was massive and will still continue to be massive for people. Like, for example, if I was to suddenly start a new lash business right now, straight away I would be on Instagram, TikTok, and yeah, probably those two. I would as a person, as say like Lash Base Jamie, for example, I would then go into Facebook groups rather than be a brand in a Facebook group. I would be a person in a Facebook group and then build it that way. I think if anyone's looking to start a new lash brand, get yourself in a Facebook group and start helping people.
Have you guys looked into Pinterest at all?
Do you know what? Yes and no. And the reason is because in the UK, it's not as big as it is in the US. So that may change for us once I look into it a little further. We have used Pinterest. We didn't see. And again, this is the crazy thing. You can say, yeah, we use Pinterest. We haven't gained much from it. However, in my head, that's probably because we haven't used it correctly, because it clearly does work. There are millions of people using it. And I think you probably, if you're planning a wedding or if you're doing anything, most of the things you do is look on Pinterest, don't you? So it's definitely probably a question for you, actually. What's it like over in the US? Popular?
Pinterest is huge here. Pinterest is super underutilized within business, because when you think about it, Pinterest is a search engine.
Yes.
And I really think people are missing out, because yeah, you can get insane traffic to your site from Pinterest. I set up my Pinterest years ago and I get like 3,000 hits a month and I don't even use it. So imagine if I actually like took the time to post on there every single day. And you can even like automate that. So you could spend like an hour or so a day setting up your pins for the entire week and just automate it. And you don't even have to look at it. You don't have to comment back. Like you don't have to engage on there as much as you would on other social platforms. So I think it's really just about creating aesthetic, and people are going to find you. They're going to pin you, and you can link directly to your site. You can link directly to your products. Like there's so much potential there. And I think that in 2020, I really think that Pinterest should be something that lash brands, lash artists, lash trainers all kind of take a look at and rethink.
Yeah, well, I'm going to look into that very heavily tomorrow. And yeah, definitely, if that's, it sounds brilliant for traffic, it's brilliant for, yeah, people finding new brand awareness. And like you said, with lashes, it's such a visual thing. Yeah, I'll look into it and give it a go again. Because like I said, when we tried it before, I think if you search Lash Base, you probably find some bits we did maybe a year ago and didn't use it right, didn't gain the traffic that we wanted maybe from it. And then with all the other focuses that we got, because we got such a small team here, not trying to make excuses, but we try and we like to spread and make sure that we are everywhere, but we do focus heavily on the ones that are current rather than what might be good. But I think Pinterest is definitely one to look at.
Yeah, I'm going to send you a little more info after we get off here, because I really think you need to look into it. And speaking of marketing and Pinterest and all of that, what do you think the biggest reason why people are afraid of marketing their brand is? Like, what are some of your tips that you have for like setting up their marketing game and standing out amongst competitors?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I think the biggest problem, probably two things. The biggest problems for people that are trying to market their brands, or what they worry, what freezes them, is the fear of failure. So they think that what they're going to create and post, or what they're going to do, isn't going to go down well. And then if all of a sudden you've got a post that's got 100 likes, and then you post again and it gets 12 likes, then that's going to look bad and you don't want that. And then, so I think people were afraid of failing when they post. And I also, for marketing, sorry. And I also think that people really, really, really care about other people's opinions way, way, way too much. So with both of those mixed together, it really stops people from posting or being themselves. And there's a reason why I've grown my Instagram account. Again, I'm not saying I'm like any this big person or anything like that at all, but I just made a decision that I needed to be myself, completely unapologetically be yourself. And then that is where you can differentiate from others. That's where you're, because at the end of the day, if
I didn't catch that.
That was Siri, because it's been listening to the conversation the whole time. Yeah, so I think people that are caring too much about what others will think and valuing other people's opinions, they end up not being themselves. And in an industry where we're all doing the same job, granted, you can do it better than others, as in you can apply lashes better than someone that's using too much adhesive. At the end of the day, if you've got 10 people and they're all exactly the same, which one are you going to choose? And the answer to that is the one that is either showing a little bit about themselves, the one that's being a little bit, well, it's being themselves. Because when you get clients coming, I think I spoke about this before in Miami, actually, it was at the Miami conference, that when you've got two people and they're all doing exactly the same. Also, actually, I will start. All clients are not for you. You don't need to try and get every single person. If you just be yourself, you will end up getting clients or students or customers that are like you, because they will see you being your real self. They'll be attracted to that and they will choose you. They won't look at, consider price. They won't consider the other things that you would consider if there was no personalities involved. So if you can be yourself, you'll attract people that are actually similar to you or like you. And that goes the same if you're a brand. Everyone doesn't like the same brands. There are different levels of brands that people seem to go to, and that's based on their personalities as well. So I think some of the biggest sticking points for people is they care so much that they don't be themselves, and then they're just bland, plain, and it's exactly the same. They look at everybody else and they say, right, this is what they're doing, so that's what I'm going to do. How on earth are you going to grow a business if you're only trying to be like everybody else? So I think that would probably be the biggest thing. Be yourself and stop worrying about the opinions of others. And then that is how you will then get ahead. And you'll find people will start copying you.
Yeah, I love that, because I think there's somebody for everybody. And I don't think that anyone should be afraid of being themselves, because when someone scrolls through your feed and all they see is pictures of lashes and they don't see you at all, like, why would they choose you over somebody else that has lashes and shows themselves and has a personality? Because there's a lot of good lash artists out there, or beauty professionals in general, but I think it helps you stand out when you kind of show yourself. Because I think, was it you, or no, it was Megan from Borboletta at the soiree this year, she said that it's 80% you and 20% your skills. Definitely. And I, you know, I'm still a new lash artist, but I've created a good clientele just from my personality, and people notice my growth and they're okay with it. Like, people realize that everyone starts somewhere, you know?
I 100% agree. If I obviously I've seen your work. If I only knew you just through conversations we've had or when we met in LA, I would come to you for lashes without even seeing your work. That's how important it is to show who you are as a person and show yourself, show your personality, and, well, to be yourself, to just be completely yourself. You'll end up getting business not based on your work, not based on anything, but based on who you are as a person.
Exactly. And I love that. I love that about this industry. And I just love that about human connection in general, because people want to be connected. They don't want to just get their lashes done and go home. They want to have a connection with you. They want to get to know you. The time that they're coming to see you, whether you do hair, makeup, lashes, whatever, that is the time that these clients, they want to know about you. Even though you think you should be asking them everything about them, a lot of the times they just want to be in your world for a little bit. And so when you show your personality like that, they really get connected to that.
Yeah. And another thing with that, when you're, say, a client's looking on Instagram, so if you put yourself in your client's shoe, if your client's looking for a beauty professional and they're on Instagram scrolling away and they find someone they think they like, and then they have a look, then this person is advertising that they're working from home. If there is not a picture of this beauty professional or anything that shows who this person is, people do not want to just randomly turn up at a stranger's house. That can be very unnerving. That can be very awkward. That can be very dangerous. Whereas if you're showing who you are and showing yourself, that makes you more credible, makes you it easier to trust you. And the amount of people that might not get clients just because the person that's trying to find someone doesn't know who the person is that's on the end of that Instagram account. So I think, yeah, if people could just show more of themselves, you'd end up growing your business a lot better.
Exactly. And even for like the male beauty professionals, a lot of the times when they're not posting their face, people don't even know they're a guy. So I think a lot of males are kind of like confused as to why maybe they're not as booked or maybe they're not creating that connection. But I think like people don't really always look at your name on your social profiles. They're really just looking at your pictures. So if all you have is pictures of your work, how are they even going to know who you are?
Yeah, I agree. I think as well, it's so interesting as males in the beauty industry. It's one of the industries, the only industries, isn't it, that's female led, which is brilliant. So being a male means that you can stand out even more, which is in a way a benefit rather than being the same as everybody else. So I think, yeah, especially if you're a male in the beauty industry, showing who you are would work really well.
It does, and you definitely show who you are. You're very, very opinionated. Have you always been like this, or has there been kind of a strategy behind it? And do you think that it's helped you with marketing yourself?
Well, I think where to start with this. Yes, I have opinions. However, at first, there was no strategy whatsoever. I will only have an opinion if it's an educated opinion. I would never blindly push my own views on something if I hadn't done at least a bit of research, or if I didn't believe enough that what I was saying was true, then I wouldn't say it. So whenever I have an opinion, if you look at them, I state it's my opinion. And I give my reasons to why I have that. However, if someone was to come back at me and give me an answer, I am completely fine with saying, you know what, you're right, you've changed my mind, my opinion has changed. But I think at first I would say my educated opinions, because there were a few things that would get said in the industry that, because it's so young and because when new lash artists come and learn, you don't, in your first classes, you don't get taught everything. So of course you're not going to know everything, But what happens is when you get lots of people then having a conversation, that then it starts to bring out, things start to be believed as true that just definitely aren't. So that's where then I would give my opinion on it in an attempt to hopefully educate. I'm never do it in a negative way, or never try to anyway. However, it's got to a point now where every now and again, before I post something or Instagram or say something, I will be aware that there's probably 50% of people that will not share my opinion and 50% of people that will share it. But when it comes to marketing, again, it's heavy on the psychology. If you want to word of mouth, if you want awareness, if you want anything, what you need to do, and this is for anybody, you can all do, you all use this, you need to evoke emotion. So whether that's like happiness, it could be even anger. I never want people to be angry at me, but what I can do is, that's just like, you know, when people share a, well, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like an extreme example. When you're like flicking through the TV and you see an advert for donate $3 a month for clean water, that evokes such a horrible emotion, but it makes you want to do something. And I think with some of the stuff that I do, I know that it'll evoke an emotion at either extreme, but I always try to do it from a positive angle, because there's at no point do I ever want to make someone angry at me or pick on someone for something, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, because every time that you post one of those unpopular opinion Instagram stories and you ask us for our opinions or to vote or whatever, I actually get super nervous, and I sometimes skip through them, because like, I don't know why I would feel that you would like judge me, but I just don't, I don't want to give you my opinion, because I'm like, oh my God, he's going to judge me. But I know you wouldn't. But
with those unpopular opinions, I'll get, when I like open up that game on my Instagram stories, you get so many opinions. And the thing is, some of them are not opinions. Some people just need to vent some anger. So I would never post those. But the ones that I share are often the ones that either need more of an explanation, or the answer is definitely not one or the other. But I only ever give the choice of one or the other. And again, that is because most people end up messaging me saying, yeah, but Jamie, I think this. However, but if it was this and this, I'd pick this. But yeah, it's quite funny when you talk about when you're posting. I love, there are so many easy ones that I try to keep away from, but like with pre-made fans, people either love them or hate them. So that's always a good one. And with all sorts of adhesive related things, you can talk about training and the price of training, the price of treatments. Everybody does have an opinion on it. And I think I like to try and, some people like to be able to vent their opinion, even though they know it will be unpopular, and they can kind of get validation from when I post it on my one anonymously for them and people start voting. At least then they see that there are people in the same boat as them that do think the same as them, without the fear that everyone was going to get their pitchforks out and start chasing them down. So yeah, feel free to vote, and I will never share that it was what you've said.
All right. Next time I will. I promise. So do you plan your content out? Like, do you do this like once a week, a few times a week, or do you kind of just kind of roll with it?
It's a mixture of everything, really. We have like once a month, we'll have like a half an hour, 45 minute meeting in which we'll write down the focuses for the month. So what's coming up? So we've got, if there's certain events, or if we know that we've got certain products that are coming in, or if we know we're low on stock of something, because it's quite funny when we're low on stock on stuff, we make sure that we don't shout about it too much, because we haven't got enough of it to go around anyway. And we don't, it's such an annoying thing when people say, well, you don't have any of these in stock, so that wasn't very good. So we have a monthly sort of meeting where we do plan out, very vaguely plan out what we want to talk about. Then every Monday we will then sort of like look at it and say, right, okay, yeah, so this week we do need to talk about this and this. And then again, and my favorite kind, and what I think I'm quite good at, is the completely off the cuff random day-to-day stuff, where all of a sudden, and this is brilliant to do for anybody when they're using their marketing, you can spot, if you spot a trend or something that everyone's talking about, it could be anything. If you, at the end of the day, if you think about why you're using Instagram for a start, so if you want to gain clients, what is it your clients are actually talking about, watching, doing, seeing, and then create content based on that. So for example, it's easy for me because I can see in a Facebook group, or I can see in a on Instagram, that all of a sudden the M curl is really popular. So because you, as soon as you see that, you can go, right, okay, we stock M curl, let's get a picture of some M curl lashes, post it up. And because everyone's already just started talking about it, we then join in straight when it's fresh. And then that's what works best as content. So I find some of the best content you can't plan a month in advance. It's the stuff that's like reactive. It's the stuff that shows that you're present, you're relevant, you're there at exactly when it's all going on. So my favorite type of content is the stuff where you just completely wing it. You think of something that's because it's going on, you post it. But yeah, we do attempt to have monthly and weekly plans. But the best stuff's always just on day to day.
Yeah, things keep on changing a lot day to day, just with the lash industry. It seems like, I mean, I'm newer in it. So, but even just from when I started in March, like things have changed so much and things are just blowing up and daily, you know, and like you went to recently to the Cosmoprof show in, where was it? Tokyo, right?
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. And so I'm sure you're seeing things that a lot of us are not seeing at all. And there's probably so many things coming out. So you, by doing that, you can even plan years ahead, really, if you wanted to, like a few things, you know.
Well, this is the thing. I sometimes consider like the position that I'm in, working for the company that I'm working at, knowing the people that I know, and being able to be really, really involved in everything all day, every day. It's such a strange feeling that I am one of the in the know people within the industry. It feels so weird to think I was the one in Hong Kong looking at all of those, the new stuff, talking to the manufacturers, finding out what's going on, what's coming. And it's such a weird, I feel like that shouldn't be me. I feel like I should see it elsewhere, but I am in that position. So when we went to Hong Kong and saw some of the new stuff come in, the only thing that I considered nowadays, you cannot withhold anything. So I might have seen, like, for example, the triple tip flat lashes that will be coming out soon. So plenty of brands will probably bring them out. I know there's, have you ever used flat lashes before, the split tipped ones?
Yeah, I've used the flat lashes from Borboletta.
That's it. And then there's now the triple tipped flat lash. So it's like even softer, even more sort of matte looking. And they're brand new. They're going to be coming out. No doubt brands will have placed orders already. So for me, it was a case of I saw them, and regardless of whether Lash Base was going to be placing an order and bringing them out, because these things can take 3, 4, 5, 6 months to actually, once you place your order, to get them into your warehouse to then sell them, I had to post on my Instagram immediately. Because now what's happened by me posting or talking about them, when somebody eventually brings them out, even if it's not Lash Base first, that person will say, "Ah, oh, I heard Jamie talking about those." And then I will be in mind when they never see those. So Hong Kong was great, but again, you have to be quick. You can't hold on to stuff. You can't try and hide it from people. The key to it is you've just got to get it out there, whether you're ready for it or not.
Yeah, that's kind of like my whole thing too. I kind of just launch it and then plan as I go.
Yes, definitely.
I love that. And I think that you actually grow a little bit from that. You know, you learn from the mistakes that you make as you launch, and the next time it'll be better, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Nobody goes through their whole life or their whole career just going win, 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 win. Oh, that went right. That went right. Win, 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 win. The people that are at the top, any of these big brand owners, if you speak to them, I bet they've got hundreds of stories of when they made a mistake, when they got it wrong, when they thought it was all over, any of that. So I think, again, just in terms of marketing or even running a business or doing anything, definitely take a leap and figure it out whilst you're going.
Exactly. So back to kind of content planning and everything, and I know we had kind of mentioned TikTok a few times. What do you think about TikTok, and are there any other like social platforms that are coming up that we should kind of start to look into with marketing our business and our brands?
Well, I think it all depends on what you want. For me, TikTok currently anyway, I don't know if anyone listening to this uses TikTok or has ever looked at it before, but it's basically just short videos of people miming or dancing or doing funny things, or there's business people on it trying to sell you how to sell stocks and stuff like that. That's what I seem to get targeted with quite a lot. However, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Most of them are like 14 to 18 year old, so a lot of it's not very good. However, it is getting bigger. And if it is going to be like the next thing, because I'm already seeing like the older people start to adopt it and start using it. The thing about TikTok is you've still got to understand, why are you using it? What do you want to gain from it? So for me with TikTok, and again, I haven't given this all of my effort, but this is high on my priority list. For me and for Lashbase, 14 to 18 year olds are often looking for a new career. And if they then see a lot of content about lashes by Lashbase, and then they decide they want to maybe take a lash course because they've seen all of this, we're the people that they're going to think of when that comes around. So you've got to understand who's using it and then understand why you're using it. So TikTok might suddenly transform and be like the next Instagram, and everyone will be using it in a different way, because that's how Instagram started, just as a new way for photographers to put fancy filters on things. Facebook was started as a college thing by Mark Zuckerberg, wasn't it? Just people to use it in colleges so they get to know each other. And it all sort of ages up in the end. So when lots of young people are doing something, there's often a sign that that's going to end up with all us oldies using it. And that's where TikTok for me is important at the moment. And I still don't know what I'm doing. I'm still going to keep trying, making a fool of myself, embarrassing myself. But hopefully the plan for me is, you could definitely, if you're a trainer anyway, you could definitely find students from it. And at the same time, when more people adopt it, you'd definitely be able to find anything that you wanted to get from it. So that's TikTok. For me, I think that next year, the big like trend in social media and what's going to be coming is WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, and other new texting apps. There's a new sort of platform coming called Community. I've seen a few people using, like they've only dished it out to some like big name marketing people and big name personal brands at the moment, but that's launching next year. And I think that because Facebook, you can now buy things direct through Facebook Messenger. Don't even need to leave Facebook Messenger to be able to ask for a recommendation, click it, buy it, and then carry on with it. So I think rather than Instagram and Facebook, I think it's going to be more people want conversations in different messenger platforms like WhatsApp and text messaging, again, email. So I think it's going to circle back around to that before it then moves on to if there are going to be any other platforms social media wise.
Yeah, and especially with like them getting rid of the whole likes thing, I think that people are just craving like real connection and conversation, like you said. So I think that's something I definitely want to look into, is the whole just messaging thing. And you also kind of blew my mind with TikTok, because I was trying to figure out like how I could market on there, but I never thought to market to the young ones that want to become something in the future. That's not even something I would have ever thought of. So I think that's a great thing for people to hear if they were kind of interested in TikTok. So like, what do you think, what kind of videos should we be posting on there? Because we're not going to be posting the same kind of videos that, you know, a 14-year-old is going to be posting, like pranking his friend or whatever. Yeah. So like, what kind of things could a lash brand or artist or solopreneur kind of
post. Now anyway, it has to be lighthearted. It's they're just sat there scrolling through it, watching funny videos and people miming and dancing. I think the stuff that I've posted on TikTok at the moment that's been the best for us is just close-up shots of different fanning techniques, different dipping adhesive into dipping a fan into adhesive, or anything. I've thrown a little bit of stuff that shows who I am in there, just so if anyone comes across it, obviously it's a bit more of a personality, but I'm still learning. I just know that if you're on there and you see there's like, I don't know, between 14 and 18 year olds that are doing makeup or they're doing something, videos that you come across and you think, okay, I'll move on. However, if those people then start seeing loads of really nice lashes being made or really cool videos of just someone blinking that you've done their lashes, just short videos, that's going to be of more interest to them. And then that will end. They will then be able to click and go to your website. They'll click and they'll have a look at what it is. And if you then can build your name on TikTok, because at the minute you can just build a massive following, get loads of views, loads of comments, loads of likes without paying a thing or being that good. If you just get it right once, just kind of, you'll end up going almost viral. And I think coming soon, they are bringing like an ad platform so you can pay money to be the ones to be shown. So it is transforming into like the next biggest social media thing. And I just think if you can understand what it is you hope to gain from it, understand who's using it, you can definitely try and work with it to try and do something. But and that's where we're going to go, especially because it's quite big in America. It's big in Australia, getting bigger in the UK, and especially with lash-based ink that's going to be opening in March. TikTok, I feel, will be good for gaining students for us when we come to start our trainings in the US and in the UK.
Okay, people, so you heard it here first. TikTok is the future, and I'm going to be definitely looking into that. Like
when you look into it, you've definitely got to get through the some of it's not great. You'll think, what am I doing? I'm like a middle-aged guy here. This is what I think to myself. I think, come on, Jamie, you're 30 years old, just looking through like all of these videos of teenagers doing stupid dances and stupid things, although some of it is quite funny, but there's something in it, definitely.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Vine. I don't know if Vine.
Yes, but yeah, it is.
I think like, because I originally saw TikTok like years ago, and I think it originally started as like a place where you could just record yourself lip syncing to music videos stuff.
It was called Musical.ly.
Oh, okay. Wow. Mind blown.
Yeah, it was called Musical.ly, and then a big Chinese company, I think it is, bought Musical.ly and changed it to TikTok.
All right. Well,
there you go.
The more you know. So, Jamie, what is next for you and what is next for LashBase?
That's a big question. Firstly, I'll start with next for LashBase because that's an obvious one. We are opening in the US. We're going to be, I think, I can't actually, you might be able to help me with this one. I think that we are the first lash brand in the history of the lash industry to actually physically open a warehouse and office and run it simultaneously to a UK one. So in two different countries, because there's so many brands have distributors in which they'll send products to someone they might know or someone that wanted to be a distributor. But what makes LashBase is how we deal with customers. How we do everything is such a big part, and we couldn't trust just sending products to someone that they would then sell how they wanted. So we thought, right, well, we're going to have to open and do it ourselves and start from scratch. So I'm quite excited. We're officially starting a brand new lash brand in March. Obviously it's LashBase, but I think we're the first company to genuinely go, right, do you know what? Let's buy a warehouse. Let's buy some offices. Let's get all the stock in and let's get going. So that's quite exciting. For LashBase, we got LashBase Inc. And for me, is going to be more of the same. I said, and I'm looking forward to this one next month. I said in January, I did a post, you could probably go and have a look back, 7th of January, I think it was, where I set my New Year's targets and goals for myself and for Lashbase. And it's coming up now towards the end of the year. And I think I said things like, I want to do public speaking. I want to get in better shape for my 30th birthday. And I want to take Lashbase to another level financially. And all three of those, or I think there's four or five of them, but all of them have been achieved. So I'm really happy with that. But within that, I said that 2019 was a year of building. 2020 was going to be the big year, which is where we knew that Lashbase US was coming. So that's big work. I'm going to be in the US probably for around about a third of the year next year, back and forth. Going to be doing lots of Lash conferences, going to try and, again, focus wherever a Lash artist's attention is, I plan on being. So everyone's going to have to look forward to seeing a lot of me, because that's my plan, to think about where people are and make sure that myself and Lashbase are going to be seen. So, yeah, lots to come.
Lashbase Jamie has taken over the US.
You know, I'm really excited, because I feel in the Lash industry, nobody really knows who's the big companies. How well are people doing? People can show that they're doing kind of well, I think. They've got all of these, loads of staff. They've got, it appears that they're doing really well, but no one really knows. So I plan with Lashbase, because we genuinely are starting from zero. So I'm excited to document the entire thing. So from the day the website goes live, I plan on showing exactly how we go. So if I then go on and say, look, it's been 1 week and we've sold two orders, then that's going to be what it is. So I'm looking forward to it, though.
I love that. I love that you're going to be so transparent with everybody. And I think that's why people like you and gravitate towards you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So every episode, I like to ask a random question, and I really hope I don't catch you off guard with this, but what is one of your current unpopular opinions?
Right, this one, let's try and think of something that isn't going to anger too many people. Right, one of my unpopular opinions at the moment is that I believe that Lash brands, not all, but most, I actually think most, this is my opinion, I believe that most Lash brands don't consider safety regulations or any compliance with their cosmetic products that they're dealing with and selling. So that's quite a big one. And the reason why I say that is because everything that we sell here currently in the UK, adhesive and any like liquid stuff that we sell, we actually have it manufactured in the UK. We then spend money having it safety assessed, with sending it off to like an independent toxicologist that will make sure that all the ingredients that are on the SDS sheet are within it. And then they make sure that those ingredients that are in the bottle that are also on the SDS sheet are also on a certain database called a COSING data. I'm getting boring here. COSING database. And they can then sign off. And it means that everything that Lashbase sell is like 100% legitimate, completely safe, completely compliant with all regulation, or even the labeling and stuff like that. And it's so important to us at Lashbase here in the UK. So I can't speak massively for the US, but I know it's a bit different here in the UK. But I believe that because it's so easy to start a Lash brand, such a low barrier of entry, I think that people will just go and buy products from China or Korea because the manufacturers are saying, look, here's a Lash adhesive, for example, buy this. Of course, the person that's new, why on earth would they consider there's anything wrong with that? They're being told to buy it. They're going to buy it. They will then buy that, stick their own label on it without thinking. As long as the label looks nice, stick the label on, stick it online, start selling it. And we've sent a few really dodgy Chinese adhesives off for testing. And some of the stuff that's in the bottle, the levels of what they're saying is in the bottle is completely wrong. And also some of the ingredients that are in the bottle and not on the SDS sheet, which again, makes it pretty dodgy and pretty illegal to be selling. So my unpopular opinion, it's quite a big one, is that I think because of the ease of the low barrier of entry of becoming a lash brand and getting your products out there, I actually don't think that most brands consider the ramifications or consider the whole regulatory side of it. And that is my unpopular opinion.
Well, I'm glad that you shared that with me. I was like sitting here thinking of like, what question could I ask him? Because I ask people, you know, like what their favorite food is and stuff. But since you are kind of the unpopular opinion guy, I might as well ask you that. So I'm this glad you told me that.
What I've just said there could be the end of Lash Base Jamie.
Oh my gosh, it will not. Everyone knows that you have opinions and we all have opinions. And honestly, that's not the first time that I've heard that. And it's kind of scary, to be honest.
Because it's such a young industry and it is unregulated. There's no one telling people what they should and shouldn't do. There's no education of the people wanting to start brands. No one knows. And I've said this before, I think there's two types of people with this, those that don't consider and then those that don't care. New brands or even older brands, they might not consider the fact that it might not be safe, because why on earth would they consider that? They're being sold it by someone that they believe is a legitimate manufacturer in the Far East or wherever it happened to be. Why on earth would they consider anything? And I think to a certain degree, that's okay. However, the ones that are aware but don't care, but don't look into it any further, the ones that don't care, I think that's the problem. So, yeah, it depends on whoever's listening to this. You'll know which side of the fence that you sit on. I'm not picking on anyone in particular at all. I just know the way that we do it, and I worry about the way that others may do it, just because there's no one's telling anyone what you should do. How would they know?
Yeah, I guess the moral of the story is there's going to be a lot of changes in 2020, and for the better. So I'm happy for that. And I'm also super happy that I had you on today. It's been a blast, and it's probably been the longest interview that I've ever done so far.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, you could probably chop this down to about half an hour, can't you?
Oh my gosh, I doubt it. There's so much good information in here. I'm definitely not going to cut it down too much, but you know, it'll be my long process, and I'm excited to listen to it.
Here's one for people then. If you've managed to make it to this point in the podcast, please can you do us both a huge favor? Screenshot where you're at this point in the podcast, post it up on Instagram stories, tag me and Stephen. Which one are you going to tag? At Beauty by Boys?
Yeah, I would tag at Beauty by Boys.
And for me, for at sure. @lashbase_Jamie. If you do that, just to show us that you're still listening, because sometimes, and this is what I've got from experience, people won't necessarily listen to all of the podcast and say that they did. However, if you've made it this far, prove that you've listened to it, share it on Instagram stories, tag us both, and then we can say thank you.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Marketing all the time. That's amazing. So where else can people find you other than Instagram?
Well, I've got a Facebook page. You could even email me all you want, jamie@lashbase.co.uk. Or actually, if you're from America, you can email jamie@lashbase.com. I'm going to have two email addresses. Or you can join, and this is the one that I recommend to everyone because it is genuinely helpful. Search on Facebook, Team Lashbase, and join that Facebook group. It genuinely, I've tried to, because I'm managing it, I've tried to make it somewhere where it's not just filled with spam. So any question that gets asked gets follow-up questions, gets proper answers. It's not just what's the best adhesive and then you get flooded with other people's recommendations. You can genuinely ask questions if you don't know something, and you will get a decent answer. And if people are struggling to answer you, you've still got like the whole of Team Lash Base that are on there, like myself, who can also give you an answer. So out of all of this, I would definitely say join the Team Lash Base Facebook group.
Perfect. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on my podcast today. I'm happy that you're officially a part of the beauty boy family. Yeah. And I'm really excited to get this out there to everybody because I think you have a lot to say and a lot of good information.
Thank you very much. And thank you so much for having me on this. It is genuinely like opportunities like this don't often come along for most people. So I'm so grateful that you've decided, you asked me and I said yes. And that we've managed to talk for over an hour.
I know. Wow. Like I'm late for everything right now, but I'm happy about it. Well, thanks again, Jamie. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.